processed, about $1,497,000. That's pretty good compared to the premiums you're paying. The chart below is just a graphical representation of a lot of the same information that's up in the chart above. But it just talks about where your spend is. It does show that 70% of the money is going to pay for employee claims as opposed to dependents at 30%. So that gives you a pretty good mix there. But we have a lot more subscribers on the plan. If you turn the page, you can see that they give a monthly breakdown. In the last couple of years, we've really paid attention to this because there were some months right before the renewal would normally hit that we wanted to come off. That's not really the case now. Several good months in a row, our worst month on the report was July of last year. That will come off before the renewal is run, and or at least it will go into the prior year, so it will only count for 30% instead of 70% in the renewal calculation. We do have a couple of other months that are pretty good sized, November, but we can't wait that long to get the renewals, so we're going to have to go ahead and go. But if you'll notice, claims have trended down fairly significantly in the months preceding. Last month was up to 138,000, but actually that's not too bad for a group your size. So since really the turn of the year, we've had a pretty good run. So hopefully that continues. If you keep going on the next page, it shows your pharmacy and the spend there. That's pretty unremarkable. It's pretty consistent. I'll point out a couple of drugs here in a second where they didn't exist a couple years ago, and now that you're spending more money on them than almost everything else combined. The next page shows the premiums billed. And a couple of numbers I'll give you that I calculated. Your pure loss ratio, when you don't take out shock claims, when you compare the claims to the premiums billed, is 94.6%. But if you peel out any claims over 100,000, as we've talked about before, where if you only get hit for $100,000 for any one claim, and you've got three that are over that, so when you take that excess amount out, your loss ratio goes down to 83.5%. So that's candidly a much better picture. In many years, we've been looking at in the 90s or 100 plus for that loss ratio.
106, 107.
Yeah. And so, knock on wood, we've still got another quarter to go. This is through May, so we've got June, July, and August likely that will be part of our renewal calculation. So we've still got some trail to cover. But as it goes right now, we're trending in the right direction, and if we continue to have months like we've had since the beginning of the year, I have high hopes this report could get even better. So we'll obviously keep an eye on that. The next page just goes through some of your highest diagnosis codes. With those could be one individual, and it could be 10 individuals. It's just a category that talks about it. But you can see some things that I know you're all aware of as far as some claims and things that have occurred. We have some cancer. We have a newborn that had some challenges, heart attacks, things that you would expect on a large claim report. And then on the very back of the report, it just lists your drugs. And I had the opportunity to sit and watch some Cardinals baseball last night, and I swear I saw four ads for Humira. And if you'll notice, you're by far largest drug spend, and this is pretty much every group that I have now, is on Humira. And that's for, it's a anti-inflammatory type drug. There's several of them out. Humira is the most popular. But when you look at psoriasis, when you look at Crohn's disease, when you look at arthritis is a good example, Humira is kind of the new wonder drug for treating what things that are caused by inflammation within the body. And so it's a good thing, obviously, that your staff has access to that, but if you'll notice, we're spending $60,000 a year on one drug as it sits right now. So that's just kind of a trend we're seeing in the industry, is those type of drugs are really coming up and costing a lot of money.
This may be a little bit out of your field, but when a drug comes out like that, mm-hmm.
How many years does it have to be out before they can start making generic forms?
Generics, it depends, and the drug companies are really, really good at like changing just a little something, and then they extend their patent. So it's years. It's over a decade.
Okay.
But that being said, it's hard to get them off sometimes. They'll take Humira and they'll add some little something to it, and so it's just a game. Quite honestly. So hopefully Washington, you know, President Trump particularly has suggested that he wants to go after the drug companies. And I hope he does. But so far it's been a lot of talk, but there's not been a whole lot that's really gone. I do want to spend a little time on this shock loss report because there's a lot of good information in here. That's the one pager on the right hand side. These are the claims. This is really where you spend the predominance of the money, right? The folks that have the big claims. There's 16 souls that are represented here. Each of these is an individual, although obviously they're not identified in any way. But on the very left-hand side, where you can see in the column it shows A or T, just point out to you that four of these folks are no longer on your plan. The T stands for terminated, and A is for active. So we have a significant number, and one of those claimants has had a pretty significant claim, $136,000. And so that is positive. This list was well over 20 people in the past, and now it's 16, and four of the folks represented here aren't with the county anymore or on the plan. I'll take you to the far right-hand side, where it says last DOS at the top. That stands for date of service. And if you scroll down in the column, you'll see that the last date of service in many cases is in 2018. So kind of when we were looking at the claims earlier where you saw it was kind of settling down a little bit after the turn of the year, that last date of service often tells you that they've resolved their condition and they're not on, you know, going to be in treatment and continuing to cost you money. So there's a couple of very positive things that I see on this sheet showing that several of these folks may have resolved and hopefully are better. And so keep your fingers crossed, knock on wood, hopefully that continues. But this does show, obviously, the various claims. And again, you'll notice there's three different individuals on here that are up over 100,000. Everything that's over 100,000, you have a separate insurance within your insurance. And so that doesn't count against you when it comes to renewal time. So that's where that insulation comes to get you down to the 83.5% loss ratio. So cautious optimism, I guess, would be the way I would view this, but we'll see. You know, we've got three quarters in and one quarter to go, and there's actually some fairly big months in that quarter that would drop off, so we do have the potential, hopefully, to do better.
So the claims over 100,000, it does not go against us on jiggery nerve ratio.
That's correct.
Good.
It's in insurance vernacular, it's called the pooling point. And at that point, in other words, you pay for it. It's part of your administrative fee for a little separate insurance policy. But that way, those shock losses, as they call them, don't make your premiums go way up. It's designed to be a ballast. So the only other couple things that I wanted to talk about is just moving forward and going through. Commissioner Wyatt, you and I have talked about tobacco cessation and some things in the past. Also, you know, one of the things that we've talked about with HR, you do have a health risk assessment that's available to the staff. Their participation in that has not been very robust by any stretch. There are several employers these days that are, you know, if you're starting, frankly, with a wellness type program, they would hit those two areas. They would look at tobacco use. And they would look at a health risk assessment that's tied to the premiums that the county pays on behalf of the staff member. So, you know, obviously this is America and we're not going to tell them they have to do anything. But if you tie it to the premiums to say, hey, we're going to pay instead of 100%, we're going to pay 80% of the premiums. However, if you participate and just look at your numbers is really all it does, right? It tests your cholesterol, it tests your blood pressure, it does your height, weight to get your BMI. Those type of things, but several employers obviously have gone to a system where they ask the employees to sign up for an assessment just to verify, you know, where they are. There are other employers that are actually, you know, requiring them to get counseling or go to different sessions. I would not recommend you start there, but a starting point could be just, you know, having a health risk assessment that's tied in some way into premiums, and I just wanted to throw that out. If it's not something you guys are interested in, then I don't need to bother Don or, you know, the group with it. But if you would like to at least explore it, then that would be something that we would bring back to you as part of the renewal process to say, hey, these are some options. And so I leave it to the commission to tell me whether that's something you'd like to explore.
So you say we've not had a good turnout on a health risk assessment, and that's something that I would think I would want to go, and then something would come up, and I couldn't. So it makes me think they feel like it's not doing them any good, waste for their time, amount for their time, even though it's their own county time.
Yeah. You know, we're all, you know, kind of resistant to go in sometimes, and I think particularly with, you know, the young male population particularly, they don't go to the doctor. You know, my own experience, we have a health risk assessment. It's something that I've been able to track and look at my numbers and look at BMI and some of those. Sometimes just asking them, hey, we just want you to know your numbers. It is a little bit of, there's no question there's some people that would say, I don't want to have to mess with that. Don't bother me. Leave me alone. But on the flip side, as an employer, you can't manage what you don't measure. Right? And so you guys obviously would not get individualized reporting, but you would get a report to say, hey, we have a prevalence of folks that smoke, or we have an obesity issue, or we have high cholesterol, as a good example. And it would allow us then to craft a plan to try to educate, to try to do those things. You wouldn't have to, but in order to continue to provide a really good, solid health plan for the employees, if there was a way that we could engage them and do that, there are several employers that have chosen to go that route. I can bring the city of Branson as an example. They've been doing it for several years. I can tell you that their renewal increases over time have been extremely modest. And I think part of it is that there are a lot of people that maybe just wouldn't have gone in to get their cholesterol checked, as a good example. Got it checked and realized, oh boy, I have some issues. We had an interesting thing. Cox Wellness came over. He said, okay, you have obesity, you have smoking, but cholesterol, you guys are in great shape. It's weird because we never see that, so we'll just not focus on it. Well, what we found out was because the health risk assessment is, it's not mandatory, but if you want 100% of your premium paid, you do have to do it. We found them, and they were all on medication, and they'd all gone through, and so their testing was coming through well. And so when you look at future claims for heart attacks or stroke or things like that, I don't want to tell you that the staff's going to just be jumping up and down saying, when can we go do our health risk assessment? But it is something for you all to at least consider in maybe trying to manage those costs and try to help hold down those premiums so the county can continue to offer a quality health.
What I'm hearing is, and there's no charge.
Well,
if you do ESA.
Particularly with Cox Health Plans, if it's something you're interested in, oftentimes we can get them to kind of roll that into your insurance to where, so, you know, technically, can you say there's no charge, but they throw it in for free, right, or whatever. But there is a charge for having a health risk assessment, and it's, you know, Dawn, I don't know if you know those numbers right off the top of your head.
I don't.
It's not unduly expensive, but certainly we can bring that to you to say, hey, this would be the cost. Going back to the city of Branson example, they pay that cost for the staff member to have that health risk assessment, and it's less than $100, but I forget what the total charge is.
Didn't you do it? Mike, didn't you do that, the health risk assessment?
I didn't.
You don't know.
What I would consider probably one of our healthiest employees with the county. They come through every year, and they have been around something that individual would have had no idea, and looking at that person would have had no idea, and they were actually shocked. It was pretty major what they found. So, I mean, it does work.
Well, I'm thinking of a young man that's young and had a heart attack and then had got, and he's had two major things. And I was wondering if this would have been a, and to let him know, because he's responsible for his youngster and he's,
There are all kinds of stories I could share with you, just like Don